Hey everyone, this is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, here at the Brown House on campus for this weekend's alumni reunion weekend. This is DJ Noni, and I'm actually here with Brad Van Alstine, the chair of our Communications and Media Studies Department.
Yep. Yep.
So
that's us.
Tell me what you know about the alumni weekend. What is it about? What are we doing?
Well, alumni weekend is the weekend where we welcome back our alumni from various years, and we try to sort of give them, along with the regular campus activities like tours and things, we try to sort of update them on our program and kind of give them a window into what's happening currently. Which is fun because we get to compare our experiences with theirs. And I've already talked to a couple people, one who was a PE major and one who was a language major.
Nice.
Two things have changed a lot. So we're mingling.
Mingling. Yep. It looks like we've got a bunch of people.
We do. The place is packed.
And so who have you talked to right now? Do we have students and current students as well here?
We have a couple current students, but we have mostly students from the past.
Great.
So we're intermixing.
And this whole weekend is a bunch of different events to bring everyone together. So there are tours.
Tours.
There are networking events.
There's a boat dance tonight.
Right.
And a flashback to the days of the boat dance.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, they'll be doing that tonight. There are mixers.
And I think that there's a lunch at Calorega
today. I think so.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Well, we're here at
the
Brown
cafeteria.
House in the center of campus. This is also the art studio.
That's correct.
So if anyone's out there and wants to come by, we are here, Penguin Radio and the School of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences hosting our reception. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and Brad Van Alstine, thanks so much for coming on. Have a great time at reunion
thanks
weekend.
For having me.
It's great. All right. We'll see you soon.
All right, sounds good.
Time.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. This is DJ Noni back here again at Alumni Weekend, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I now have with me Scott Sinclair, one of our religion and philosophy teachers here at Dominican University. Scott Sinclair, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, so great to have you. Tell me a little bit about your excitement on Alumni Weekend here. What do you've come to campus to see everyone. Tell me everything.
Well, it's always a great pleasure to be able to show off the many achievements of our students, and always a great pleasure to be able to come into greater knowledge of all the people who have made this institution over now many decades, and to see the interaction between the new achievements of students and the memories and former achievements of the alumni, and also, of course, the many things the alumni are still doing. So that's that interchange, that community is always very exciting. Now, I haven't had a chance to talk to many alumni yet, only two or three, but I did go to the Creative Arts and Scholarly Festival, and I saw the achievements and heard the achievements of our students.
Great.
So I'm very excited to be able to show off at least some of those things to our former students, our alumni, whose support we count.
Oh, I'm so glad that you got to see that and you get to see it in action. And as we're standing here chatting, all of a sudden a huge group of folks came by, and then they walked by, they're on their tour. You have taught hundreds of students, maybe thousands of students in your time here.
Well, I came in 92, so I guess that must be at least in the hundreds.
Yeah, at least in the hundreds. So some of the alumni that are here maybe you have taught, but there are a great number of alumni going back years and years and years.
Well, last night when I went to the chapel service for the 50th reunion, there was one person, I wasn't here 50 years ago, but there was one person who was organizing it who said, "Do you remember me?"
Oh.
But the trouble was I actually didn't remember him, but he claimed he was my student. So.
That's great. Well, then you get to reminisce a little bit and find out.
He was helping to... he's part of the alumni board or whatever they call themselves. So
great.
He was organizing the 50th reunion, and he was one of my students.
That is so exciting. Well, good for you that you got to see him and that you're getting involved in all of the action and activity. I see that the tours are beginning, so I think what I'll do is I'll let you get on with that and go on, and then we'll get someone else up here to give us another interview. Thank you for coming on,
Thank you very much, Dr. Sinclair.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. DJ Noni here at the Brown House at the Dominican University of California Alumni Weekend, inviting and welcoming all of our alumni throughout the years back to the campus, the beautiful campus here at Dominican University of California. We'll be back in a few moments. After everyone comes back from the tour, we'll bring some alumni on, and we'll get to hear their thoughts on today's and this weekend's events and what they've been doing over all the years. All right. Be right back. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Hi, everybody. This is Stuart Horn of the Brown House on Alumni Weekend, Reunion Weekend, I should say, 2016. And Chloe from the class of 2014 is with us. And she is, she's here to, I'll let you answer. Chloe, you graduated in 2014, not that long ago, but things have changed since you were here. Tell us what you've noticed.
Just on campus, how things have changed?
Yeah.
Well, my friend and I were actually just passing Meadowlands, and I noticed it's brown now,
right,
which is weird. I don't know how I feel about that, but yeah, so that was a bit surprising, and just the fact that it's nursing now, it's a, I think, assimilation hospital, right?
And OT.
OT,
they've got
yeah.
a lot of things there for healthcare.
Yeah, so I lived there for a semester, so it's just weird that now it's, you know, gone from a place where I lived, and now it's a building with classrooms, and it's brown.
Yeah, so. And I don't think, I don't know, did you go through, have you gone through it yet?
No.
I don't even think there are residence rooms there.
No, there's no residence rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you lived there for one semester. What other?
I did.
Where else did you live on campus?
I lived in Edgefield Mansion, or Village, rather.
Right.
A couple of times. Yeah, I lived there my first year. I was a transfer student. And unfortunately, my roommate wanted to strangle me in my sleep.
Yeah.
So I had to leave.
That happens
sometimes. Yeah.
There's value in that,
yeah.
Right? Learning how to hang with people,
yeah,
or not.
You know, I mean, it was awful, but I kind of thank her for that, because I really learned a lot, and I got a good bad roommate experience, got that out of the way.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it, you know, opened it up for more opportunities to meet new people. And, you know, if she wasn't awful, actually, I lived in Meadowlands the last semester before I was, you know, renovated. And I had my own room. So if she wasn't awful, I wouldn't have had that.
It's funny. You were a transfer student before I was a transfer student. Graduated
in
2001. And you graduated in 2014. And Leona graduated in 2014. It's funny how there's all these. It's a Venn diagram of all these connections,
yeah,
for Dominican people. I've only seen a couple of alum that I recognize. I've only been here 20 minutes or so. But it's always fun to see people on campus again, and you're talking about the changes. So when I was a student, the Science Center wasn't here.
Mm.
The Brown House was the center of campus, and this is where the student body, the ASDU offices were, and this was kind of the hangout right where we are now at the Brown House. I don't even remember what, I think that was just a grassy something or other over there, and now it's this gigantic building. When I started, there was no Conlon Center. The novitiate extended here behind Bertrand, and there was an old funky swimming pool with frogs in it and stuff, because they didn't really use it. And half of a gym. We had a gym in there, but the walls came right to the edges of the basketball court. And when it rained, you could only play half court because the roof leaked. It was really, really old, you know. And then they built the Conlon Center in 2000. I think it opened in April 2000. But when I started, my first year, I was a junior when I transferred, probably like you.
Yeah.
It wasn't here, and now I look around, and all of the changes, just every year something new happens,
mm-hmm,
you know. And so, but I've been here every year since.
Oh, okay.
So I started as a student, got a job immediately after, and then I've been teaching ever since. You come back after 2.5 years, or almost 2 full years, and it's got to be wild. Have you run into any alum that also graduated that you recognize?
I haven't actually. I saw someone driving by when we first got here, but no, I haven't run into anyone, which is surprising. I think this weekend is kind of for a lot of seasoned alumni, but I'm hoping to kind of run into a couple of people, and I mean, that would be nice. But,
and you have you were a nursing major?
No, I was an English major.
Oh, yeah. Okay, tell us what you're doing now then.
Well, right now, I'm in addition to being a poet, I'm actually working on a manuscript, an expansion of my senior project. So
fantastic.
That's been my major focus.
Do you know Judy Halebski? You've got to. You probably
No, Judy's my girl. You're kidding. No, I've had like 10 classes
yeah,
with her.
Yeah, you must have.
No, we still keep in touch, and Judy's amazing.
Isn't she?
She is.
Yeah, that's good. She's a good person to probably to emulate for somebody like you.
Oh, yeah.
And are you working?
Yeah, I'm doing some administrative work right now, and I recently started working on getting my technical writing certification. So
how great is that?
Yeah.
Are you going to get into teaching ever?
Everyone asks me that.
Well, only I'll tell you why, because my dad was an English major.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. I don't know. Right now I can't imagine, you know, grading papers and whatnot and the responsibility, but maybe when I'm older I can do like a lecture series and, you know, Toni Morrison, be like her and do some kind of, I don't know, creative writing workshop or something. But I think that's the extent of the kind of teaching I would do.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's great. And anybody that might be listening, and, you know, people listen to Penguin Radio quite a bit. And these are great opportunities for people to sort of get their first taste of Dominican. You know, oftentimes Penguin Radio is that first step for people to become familiar with the university. And as a recent graduate, I'm sure you have something cool to say to people who might be thinking about coming to Dominican.
Yeah, I do. I'd say Dominican is a great school because it is very small, and the student-to-teacher ratio is very small. I had a class, actually, that was only 5 students, so that was great. And you just it's really easy to build relationships with teachers. You're not just like a number in a large lecture hall. You actually get to know the teachers. They get to know you. Being a creative writing major, I was able to really express myself, and people knew my work. They knew me as a writer, and you don't get that at large schools. So just a sense of community, great support from the teachers. They make it really easy for you to do well. So I that's what I'd say. Go to Dominican.
All right, Chloe. That's a pretty nice endorsement. Well, Chloe has been our guest here at the Brown House on Alumni Weekend 2016. All right, Chloe, thank you very much. And hopefully we'll have some more interviews coming up soon. So please stay tuned to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
All right, listeners, this is DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu on Alumni Weekend at the Brown House. And today, we have with us Kylie Walsh. She is an English major here at Dominican University of California, and she is going to graduate December 16. We're so excited for her. And today at the Brown House, she is going to recite some of her poetry. Kylie, welcome to Penguin Radio.
Thank you so much for that intro. Today, I'm going to be reading a poem. It's called What Do You Know About Beauty? I wrote it my second semester here at Dominican in my big history class with Thomas Burke. I hope you enjoy it.
You are on.
I know that my mother is beautiful. It may have faded slightly with each added wrinkle and burden we lay upon her, but she has absorbed enough sunshine to last her the rest of her decades. Holding onto hip bones like prayer beads is beautiful. Knowing that we are made of something stronger than the flesh is reassuring to those who test the limits of what these bodies can take. His hair in the sunlight was beautiful. So were his lips by the stars. The way he said my name was beautiful because you could hear the practiced syllables. Tasting a new drink is beautiful, knowing that this might keep you on the edge of drunkenness, but not on the edge of weightlessness because you're already there, have been there since yesterday. Your knowledge of numbers is beautiful, having equations to measure the human existence, to chart things like pain and anger and happiness and their relationship to the weather. The first snow is beautiful, watching things fall and not break, holding onto all that stinging potential. Driving home at night is beautiful, knowing that it's okay to trust something other than yourself to get you where you need to be. Opening your eyes is beautiful, your body's way of saying, hallelujah, you have begun to let the light in for another day. Breaking down is beautiful, not back to square one, but as close as you're going to get to a new beginning, a collection of elbows, fingertips, and irregular heartbeats on the floor. Kissing like it's open-heart surgery is beautiful, so you can feel every cell working to keep you alive. A constant caged earthquake that has learned how to operate within limited space, with moments like this threatening to erupt and spill over ourselves. Moonlight drives just so you can watch the sunrise from somewhere new is beautiful. Exchanging my horizon for someone else's. Conquering the night by staying on the move. I promise we're not done running, but we're done with running from. Drinking whiskey with my brother is beautiful. Learning the good kind of burn and how to take it and when not to anymore. There's a difference between shots and shooting. Walking barefoot in the sand is beautiful. Having the ground rise up to meet you. Physical proof that no matter how many times you've been beaten, it's still possible to provide warmth and resistance when needed. First kisses are beautiful. Ours was borderline holy. I could start our religion, write scriptures, feel God, with the way your lips felt on mine. I'm sorry it had to end in heresy. Haircuts are beautiful. Letting go of any unnecessary weight, it'll always grow back. Things will always grow back if you let them. Skinny dipping in the Pacific is beautiful. The waves caressing my body, absorbing the salt, returning to the waters from which I came. Hot, stale summer days are beautiful. Lying half naked in front of apathetic fans, everything stagnant and still in ways we hadn't noticed before. Or maybe just never took the time to notice. Sitting in the passenger seat at gas stations is beautiful. Watching someone you love stare off into space, reflecting on what is really powering us forward. Feeling God for the first time in who knows how long is beautiful. I cannot explain this in any way you will understand. Feigning sleep in the car is beautiful. Overhearing his declaration of love, your father's tired sighs, off-key singing, souls expanding. Getting lost in a city that is not your own is beautiful. Having to rely on instinct and other humans as you struggle to keep pace in an environment that does not need you but has taken you in anyway. Stargazing is beautiful. Reconciling the dirt and the emptiness, pinning our hopes and stories to something as infinite as ourselves. Trees undressing shyly in autumn are beautiful. Shedding pieces of us themselves softly. Hoping we notice the changes reflected in ourselves as we let parts of ourselves go out into the world. A broken shoelace here, a chipped tooth there. We have made our marks and they cannot be erased.
Completely and absolutely beautiful. What is powering us forward? How were you inspired to write that poem?
I was taking a class, like I said, it was a big history class with Thomas Burke, and we were focusing on big history through the lens of beauty. So one day, Burke is really fond of free writes. So every day he'll sit down and be like, okay, scholars, here's a prompt. Just write about it for a few minutes. Don't stop writing. So one day he asked us, what is beauty? And I just started writing. And this was not the finished product by no means at the end of those 5 minutes. But I shared it with my class and they were like, you just wrote that now? It's like, yeah, it's a little rough. It's okay.
But you had the construct right there.
I had the construct. And now that I'm working on my senior thesis, I pulled it back out of my notebooks. I've been polishing it up here and there. And
here you are. We were graced with your words and your inspiration.
Thank you so much.
I am an alumna of Dominican. I graduated 2014 and I also had Thomas Burke as my senior humanities teacher. Oh. And I'm very familiar with the free rights. And it really delightful how he really made it a free right.
Yeah.
And you could share it or not. So mm-hmm. Wonderful that was born from that.
Yeah, it was. He's a fantastic teacher as well.
What are some things that are you doing with yourself along with writing poetry and all of that? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I actually recently got back from studying abroad. I was one of the first students to be accepted into the brand new Oxford Scholars Program here at Dominican.
Mm-hmm. That's why I know your name, because I've been reading about it.
That's why. So I just got back this semester from St. Catharines University there, which was just fantastic, just being able to spend like 8 weeks just doing really intense reading and study. I've always been told, you know, if you want to be a great writer, you need to be a reader of great authors. So I got to read a lot of really fantastic authors while I was over there. And it's really been influencing my thesis right now. I'm working on that. It's going to be 30 poems and then an analysis.
I'm so excited. Do you already have listeners? By the way, you are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Here we are, Brown House Alumni Weekend, talking to a current student, Kylie Walsh, who's going to share her poems with her poetry with the group today when they get back from their tours. But I just need to let you all know that I'm just going to make an offer to Kylie. Do you have internships credits that you still have to do? Do you have room for one credit internship? Because we have a poet in residence position at Penguin Radio.
That would be fantastic.
It's wide open for fall 2016.
That's fantastic. I'll talk to Judy. We'll see what we can do.
Oh, I see something brewing, Penguins. This sounds like a good partnership coming up. Oh, fantastic.
I did see Nick Stevens perform at the Writing Out Loud event a few weeks ago.
Amazing?
That was incredible.
He was our poet in residence this semester. We just did his recording the other day in the station.
Yeah.
It was an interview, and he read three of his poems. Incredibly intense.
Yes, he's very intense, a reader.
But really completely real. And he can do that right off the top of his head.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy.
I have a few classes with him, and I didn't know he was into creative writing. So it's really great I got to see him read.
I'm so glad. Well, he's paving the way for you to come in next semester.
Fantastic.
If you want to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be producing his piece, and we'll have it on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
I'll have to check that out.
Indeed, indeed. All right, well, have a wonderful rest of today, and I hope that your thesis continues to go well, and we'll connect on Poet in Residence.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, Kylie. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and we'll be right back with more at the Brown House for Reunion Weekend.
Radio.Dominican.edu, the official radio station here at Dominican University of California on Reunion Weekend. Alumni from all over, I think all over the world, certainly those people that are close enough to come to campus and relive their Dominican days. A lot of people are here, one of whom is Chloe, who is really a very fine poet, who graduated in 2014, an English major, and she was on a little bit earlier, and she just concluded a performance here on the deck of the Brown House for quite a few people. And we have asked her to come and, first off, Chloe, let's get a sound check on you. How was it performing? Were you nervous? You didn't seem nervous.
Oh, I was very nervous. I'm always really nervous the moment before I get up, and then once I start reading, it's almost like a survival mode type of situation. So reading, I'm fine. But, you know, walking up to the stage and all that, that's when
that's always the worst, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you did a beautiful job. And I think the crowd was moved in a way they didn't expect, which is always one of the beautiful things when you get either an artist or a poet. And they get to do what they want, when they want, the way they want. And Leona thought it would be a good idea to have you back and maybe give the audience an opportunity to hear the poems that you just performed, because I think it's good to share what the Dominican alum do and what you're thinking, the way you're thinking now a couple years out of college. So I appreciate you coming back. And here's Chloe, everyone.
Okay. The first time I'm going to read is called First Date. First Date. Loveliest of what I leave behind are memories of you in the old abandoned arena my grandfather built. I took you out one afternoon and showed you the remains of the small corral, and after, you chased me through sharp sage across the rocky field until you caught me. Caught me by the tail of my short sundress you always said was like waves of dancing cotton. Dancing cotton that brushed your thighs in the breeze when you held me, when you grasped my wrist in your hand, twirling me around until our palms met and our fingers interlaced. All right, the second I'm going to read is titled Mystical Madness. Mystical Madness. In summer, the air became stiff and stagnant. The walls warmed and the paint peeled. At night, we'd slowly drag the covers off the bed with heavy limbs and lay atop the sheets in our underwear. A slight breeze from the open window above the headboard brushing our damp skin. The whir of the ceiling fan above us the only sound, the long blade serving only to shift the hot air around the room. We'd lay there, eyes closed, not touching, just breathing together. Those moments in that hot room are the tenderest I remember. The way you'd roll a moist beer bottle across the back of my neck, your fingers gently brushing the nape when lifting my hair to press the cool glass against my skin. Those are the nights that I remember, the nights that felt mystical in the madness of the heat. The last piece I'm going to read is titled The Memory of Her. The Memory of Her. All around him in the morning, like a dream that slowly slips away when you wake. Memories of her. The silky brush of her fingertips, four freckles that decorated the back of her neck, the dark rose hue of her upper lip. He wears the memory of her like skin, always with him, and the fibers of his cotton t-shirts and the heavy soles of his boots. She's there.
That was really beautiful. I want to say that the second time, I think I liked it better.
Yeah.
The one line that really stuck with me from the, I think it was from the second bit where he grabbed your wrist and then your open palms and your fingers interlaced. I remember thinking the first time I heard that, how descriptive and perfectly said that is. And when a vision, when you can envision what the poet, yeah, I mean, how great is that?
Yeah.
When the words create this kind of a cerebral environment, mm-hmm. where you know you can see it.
Yeah.
You hear it, then you see it. What a beautiful combination. What drew you to poetry, or is it just a calling?
I guess I would say it is sort of a calling. I can't imagine not writing poetry, but I have to give it up to my girl Emily Dickinson. I was exposed to her at an early age. And I distinctly remember thinking, I can do that. And that was just the start of it. And the more I write, the more classes I take, especially with Judy, the more confident I was that this is what I meant to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's great that you went up here. It had to take a lot of guts to go up and then to present your own stuff. But at the end of the day, you've got to think to yourself, what a lucky person you are. Who gets to perform their stuff in front of a group, especially of people who, a lot of smart people who appreciate this stuff. This is what they do. And it seemed like a great opportunity, and you availed yourself of that. And it's really, it's got to be something to, if there are budding artists and poets out there listening right now and who are inspired by your story and your stuff, you know, I got to believe one of the things you would say is when you get an opportunity to perform, even if it's to 20 people, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you'll be nervous. Being nervous is part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know your stuff and you're confident with your stuff, that nervousness can turn into make it even better. Wouldn't you agree?
I definitely agree. I'm always nervous when I do a reading, but I think nervousness is good. If it didn't matter to you, if you didn't care, then you wouldn't feel nervous. You're sharing a part of yourself, a very intimate, vulnerable part of yourself. But I'll share a quick little tip that I learned a couple of years ago. One of the most important tips I learned. It's not about you. It's about the poem. And while you're writing it, while you're creating it, you've taken something that is out in the ether, you've pulled it to yourself, you've given it a body, you've given it a soul, and now it's your duty to release it back into the world. And once you do that, it's for everyone else. It's not about you, it's about the poem. And just kind of taking the ego out of it, knowing that, has helped me a lot. It's not a reflection on you, it's about the poem now. And just remember that.
I think that's really well said, because I think one of the things that holds people back is their fear of sharing, mm-hmm. that part of themselves. And Leona and I experience this all the time with people and asking them to come and participate on Penguin Radio. And as you may not know, I teach speech classes here. And, I do quite a bit of public speaking. And one of the tips that I give is similar to what you said, although it's pared down a lot. And actually, it's not so well said, because I like the way that you said it. But I always tell my students this, just because you're super nervous doesn't mean you're going to screw it up. And it's nice to have something to fall back on,
mm-hmm.
as you're walking up, some mantra to repeat,
mm-hmm.
whether it's not about you, it's about the poem, it's your duty. I love that stuff. Because I agree with that stuff. And also, of course, to recognize that I'm super nervous,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the gig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chloe, you were beautiful. Your poems are just great. Chloe's from the class of 2014, sharing her her soul with us here on Penguin Radio. It was some beautiful poetry on reunion weekend. And thank you very much, Chloe. It's nice having you.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody, that was Chloe right here on Penguin Radio. Radio.dominican.edu. We'll come back in a bit. We're back, everybody, at the Brown House on Penguin Radio. It is reunion weekend. A bunch of alums coming from all over the world to reconnect with their alma mater here at Dominican. Catherine Coons is our next guest. She's from Alumni Relations. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
I'm really happy that you're here. And are you the person in charge of all this whole weekend and everything?
Yes, I am. I'm the director of Alumni Relations. So we put on this reunion weekend every year in April.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this. This is my third reunion. So I've been here about 2.5 years.
And for the alum who are got to be listening, because some people are just too far away and they can't get to everyone, or maybe they come once every 5 years, whatever it is. Tell us about when it started, when it ends, and what happens in between.
Yep. So we honor reunion classes, which are 5, 10, 15, 20, all the way up to, I think, our oldest alum, maybe their 65th reunion. We had alums all the way back from the 40s here today.
No way.
And we started last night with our Golden Circle dinner. And that circle dinner recognizes the 50th reunion class, so the class of 1966. We put on a special dinner for them. We invite any alumni who have graduated 50 or more years to come and join us and really celebrate
them.
It's very cool, and they tell a lot of stories about their time here, about the sisters, about curfews, about having to wear nylons to dinner. It's an education, so we learn a lot and really enjoy having them there.
You know what I love is going up to Magnolia and seeing the all of the old artifacts. It's like a museum up there of Dominican's past. And to see, of course, now what year did we go co-ed? 73?
That sounds about right. It was the early 70s.
So it was, you know, there was 80 or 90 years where it was women only. Only a few hundred students. Literally a couple dozen would graduate each year. It was much smaller, even though we're a small college now, much, much smaller back then. And the pictures of the girls wearing gloves and, you know, everything. Where did they, now they would have co-ed dances, and boys would come from where, do you know?
St. Mary's, USF, and Santa Clara were the big schools.
That makes sense.
And a lot of those women married men from those schools.
Is that right?
And they would have dances either on those campuses or on our campus.
And so, in our campus, it must have been at Guzman Hall, because that was the only big room on campus.
Yes.
We did have an old gym. Now, you've been here 3 years.
Correct.
Okay. So I came in 99, graduated in 01, and then have been teaching here since. And we used to have, prior to the Conlin Center, we had a gym up here behind Bertrand Hall, as you
the
probably
barn?
Know. It was called the Barn.
I've heard of it.
And it had an old funky swimming pool. And, I mean, it was – and when it rained, the barn would leak, so we could only play basketball half court.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was one of those really old, funky buildings. But I got to believe that maybe that would be a place. So it was either Guzman Hall, where they held the graduations also. And I think it was a library even before
it was.
That. And then – and then we had the barn, where I suspect they may have had some of those dances. Share one of the stories you heard from the women. Wearing the nylons to dinner is a great, that's a classic. But I've heard some stories about how the hall monitors would look the other way when the girls were, they would smoke in their rooms. And there were all those stories. Can you share a couple of those?
Sure. Well, one I heard last night, a couple, there were a lot of stories about sneaking out because they had to be in their rooms by 9:30 p.m., I believe, and lights out by 10:30 p.m. So, and the sisters would come and check if they were in their rooms. So sometimes one alum told the story that they were on a date in San Francisco and the car ran out of gas or broke down, and so they called one of the sisters and said, we can't get back. And she said, I don't care. Take a taxi and get back here. And if they got in trouble, they had to go in front of what was called the student advisory board and sort of be disciplined, even for breaking curfew.
No kidding.
So, yeah, they did a lot of sneaky things.
So get back no matter what. Take a taxi, even though you don't have the money to do so. It's probably midnight.
Right, right, exactly. And no, I think it was only 10 or so.
Oh, it was curfew 10 o'clock?
I don't remember. So, during the week, maybe.
But back then, the only residence halls were Penafort, Fanjo, and there were a few rooms in Meadowlands.
Some people lived in Edge Hill also.
So Edge Hill, before its renovation, you're right. You know, so here's a funny story. When I was a student, I always wanted to see what it was like in there because it was condemned or to be condemned. Nothing happened in there. So one night I went up there, and it was, well, it wasn't too late, probably 7 o'clock. And the door was open. So I went in. I started walking around. I got all the way upstairs. And, you know, the drawers were labeled. The girls, they were still at socks and, you know, shirts and stuff. And there were, it was really, it seemed like it was a building where the residents lived in what were at one time the servants' quarters. Because of the way the small walkways getting up there. And that's also true. It was kind of geared from the kitchen to get up there.
Yep.
So at any rate, it hadn't changed in years and years.
Yeah.
And I think that until it reopened in about 2008, maybe, I'm just guessing. At any rate, so I go in, and I'm walking all around, and all of a sudden, I'm way upstairs, and I hear the door close downstairs and lock, and I go tearing down, and the door's locked, and there's no way, and I'm in there. And I went around the back, and one of the staff people had gone in to do something, and I'm banging on the door, you gotta let me out, because it had this crazy lock.
Oh,
you know, but it was obvious, the other thing that I noticed, it was obvious that students had been sneaking in there and going up the fire escape and going in the top floors and using the rooms for whatever students do, right?
Right, right.
Because there were still
artifacts
left.
Exactly.
Hardly the word, but beer cans really is what it was.
Right,
but it was, you know, it was really cool to go in there.
Cool.
It's a really cool old building. And now, I don't know how many millions of dollars they put into it around when they started renovation about 2005. But it's a beautiful building now.
It is. And I think it's really wonderful that we've renovated so many of the buildings. Meadowlands is another one that a lot of the older alumni lived in. And it's really wonderful for them to come back and still see these really special places. And when they've been restored so beautifully, they're really proud of that and really happy to see that.
Catherine Kuhn's our guest here on Penguin Radio from Alumni Relations. What else does Alumni Relations do for the university? Because I get a lot of emails with your tag on it, and I got to believe you guys are super busy.
Yeah, we do about 50 events a year, and our mission is really to connect alumni with each other and back to the university. Of course, it's really important for us to have alumni support of the university.
And why is that? Why is it so important?
It's important because the university, it's very tuition driven, but we don't actually have enough money coming in just through tuition to run the university. So that's one thing, just a basic need that we have. And we want to include the whole community in supporting the university. It shaped a lot of people. It continues to be a resource not only for Marin County, not only for alumni, but really for the wider community to be able to connect back and still have access to that place of learning that shaped them so much. So, plus your alumni community is really a great network, particularly for younger alumni starting out in their careers. It's a great way to get connected. And they don't have to be in your class. It doesn't have to be anyone you know. You could reach out to an older alum or someone not in your class to help you get connected. So it's a resource that way also.
That's very well said. I find myself as each year, so I graduated in 2001, and there was a time where I was a new alumni, and now I feel like I'm sort of one of the old alumni. You know, the Conlon Center wasn't there, the Fink Building wasn't here, and this was the Brown House was the center of campus, ASDU offices. You know, it's entirely different. This is where everybody hung out right here. So, and that wasn't there. It just has gotten big since I've been here.
Exactly.
But then I spoke to a guy whose wife had graduated in 66. And, you know, think about the changes since then.
Right.
It's and
astounding.
What's so cool is it's all connected.
Yeah.
You can connect the dots so easily back to that time because she lived in Penafort.
Wow.
You know, like everybody.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's just incredible. 50 years ago, and she lived in the same room as students are living now.
Right. Exactly. And even though the university seems very different, is very different in a lot of ways than 50 years ago. Obviously, it's co-ed, it's not Catholic. There's this thread that you can trace through that really connects people's experiences, and part of that is the Dominican values, and part of that is just that it's a small campus that really does feel like a family and a lot of people supporting you. And that's very consistent with throughout the years in my conversations with alumni.
From Alumni Relations, Catherine Koons, if anybody listening wanted to connect with you and email you, how can they do that?
They can email me directly at Catherine.Koons, it's Katherine.Koons, @Dominican.edu. Or give me a call at 415-485-3242.
Great.
You can check out our, we have information on our website also.
That's great. And that's at Dominican.edu.
Dominican.edu, click on alumni and you'll find out about all of our upcoming events and other resources that we have, including helping Dominican start a mentoring program that includes alumni and providing more career resources to alumni.
Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank
great
you,
to
Stuart.
Meet you finally face-to-face.
Yes,
and
very good to
you're
meet you.
A great guest. Catherine Koons, everybody, from Alumni Relations right here on Penguin Radio. We'll have a little music and another guest coming right up, radio.dominican.edu.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu. We're at the Brown House in the center of campus at Dominican University of California, and it is Alumni Weekend. That is where we are welcoming back alumni from eons ago and from only years ago. People who have gone to Dominican and who are returning to see the campus and see each other and just partake in everything that's going on for the weekend's festivities. So here at Penguin Radio, we now have another guest on, and who I have with me now is Quintel Apakanis. She is an alumna from 2004. Welcome.
Hello there.
It's so wonderful to have you. How are you today?
Oh, I'm overwhelmed with how beautiful and wonderful and joyful this place is. It's always good to be back on campus.
I am so pleased that you're enjoying yourself. So you're an alumna from 2004. Tell me about your college experience here and anything that I need to know about what it was like for you being a student here.
Well, I'm one of the lucky ones that was able to come back to school after my children were out of school and grown and in university. And so it was my turn. And living in Marin gives a lot of opportunities. So I started out at College of Marin, and then I had the last couple of years here at Dominican University, which was absolutely the best possibility, especially for someone that was sort of skittish about going back at a later age. And so it was the best decision.
So you were an adult returning student.
Yes.
And at
yes.
that time, it's entirely possible that that program might have been called the Pathways.
Pathways,
program.
Correct.
So you and I have something in common. I came back to school in 2008. Mm-hmm. I was 44 years old. I didn't get to go to college right out of high school, and I was in the Pathways program.
Right.
So you graduated 04. I graduated 10 years after you in 14.
Wow.
So I just got to reach out Congrats. And shake your hand. Congratulations to you.
You
know,
Thank
it
you.
Is it is really crucial to be a lifelong learner and to, you know, grow up in your life, have children, and have a life out there, but then reframe and come back and get that education. That is just really impressive and admirable because you're having to continue to raise your kids and work and go to school. How was that?
I was very fortunate in that I found a way to be able to work and go to school. So I worked out of my home and I was able to adjust to my own time. But I think the most beautiful thing about the experience was the experience that I had of me and the things that surfaced that was locked away within me. The artistic aspect of it, I found out so many things that I was an amazing artist in oils and ceramics, and I could write. I could write. I mean, people go, well, how long have you been writing? And I'm like, just starting.
You might have been writing in your head all those years and have given an outlet. What was your major?
Arts and art history.
Art and art history.
Yeah, the humanities. I think it's very, very important because I feel the humanities is what buttresses all of us to be able to do what we are able to do, regardless if you're in medicine or business or the tech world or whatever. Without the humanities, without the beauty of the world, it just doesn't work. You have to have that balance, and we need that.
When I came back in, I came in 2008, I started, I knew that I needed to have a humanities background. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. my degree is in humanities and cultural studies mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. a track in communications, therefore Penguin Radio.
Right, right.
And I agree with you that humanities is the base. It's mm-hmm. the jumping off point, and you just jump high and high and high, and you bring everything else in. And of course, any education that you get is great. Mm-hmm. And when you get it here at Dominican, that's wonderful. Now, I'm noticing on your name tag, Quintel, that it says alumni board member. So not only are you a returning alumna, but you're a board member. So tell me about that experience.
Well, when President Marcy came on board, she opened up so many new avenues for the university. And she had an outreach program that to the areas in California and beyond where they had the greatest amount of students in a given area. And I have moved to Sacramento for a few years to assist my son. And so they have a luncheon every year. And I went to the first luncheon in Sacramento, and a lovely lady, Tracy, and President Marcy was there. And I was approached and asked if I would be on the board. And I told them, you got to be kidding. I don't know anything about doing that. And they said, you'll be great. Come talk to us.
Great.
And that's how we ended up on the board.
That's wonderful. And having people who have had the experience of being here mm-hmm. and taking that forward and having the perspective of all of the different ages
Correct.
And everything, it just really informs the process.
Right. They had trust in me that I didn't even know. I think my first stint on the board, I think I was comatose. I showed up and I did what I was supposed to do.
You're soaking in
learning. But life was doing what it was doing, but I had made a commitment and I was going to stay with that commitment. And then as we came around to the possibility of rolling over into a second term, I decided, you know what? Now I'm ready to really, really work with this. Because what it has done is brought me from being a pathways student out there floundering and brought me back into the community. And in this, we're able to see how we can reach out to other alumni to come on board, not feel like you've gone and spent all the money and got all the education and now not. We're bringing you all back in.
Once a Dominican, always
yes.
a Dominican. We
you,
are a family.
You cannot get it out of your blood. It is just, it's there.
I love that. I love that. Now, I want to go back for just a moment to being an adult returning student in the Pathways program, and you had this big life already, and then you come back to school, and you're integrating your life experience and this academic theory experience, and they're overlapping, and you're getting all this layered learning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out the other side. I noticed that a number of people that I was in classes with were in career transition or life mm-hmm. transition, mm-hmm. and for me, I had never gotten to go to college when I had come out of high school, so I was reclaiming my education. Mm-hmm. I had never thought I was smart enough or confident enough, and I was processing that with my education. What do you think you were doing with it? You were coming out of being a parent, but was there a career transition, or did you have an aim?
There wasn't a career transition. There was a life transition. I was a single mom. And there are a lot of areas in my life that I had wanted to do more with but was not able to because the option was not being able to be there 100% for my boys. And I passed up opportunities that were amazing, but my boys were more important. And so I've always said that my first PhD was my children. And then I came back to school for me, only for me. Because I felt that I needed that life experience. And that's why I came back to school.
Well, we are so blessed to have you as an alumna. Thank you very much for coming on and talking about your experience. And thank you for the work that you do as a board member and to, you know, keep the legacy alive and to provide the space for all the alumni and also the young people and adult returning students. Now they're going to be graduating this year and beyond, that the family continues to be extended.
So right.
So so right.
Thank you so much.
It's
been a real pleasure.
Oh, thank you very much. Quintel Apakanis, class of 2004 and also an alumni board member. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is DJ Noni, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Here we are, everyone, at the conclusion of Reunion Weekend, our Reunion Weekend broadcast, that is, from the Brown House. Dr. Christian Dean in the background playing for everybody. And a lot of alums milling about, enjoying their alma mater here at Dominican University of California. Stuart Horn signing off for Leona George Davidson and the rest of the Penguin Radio crew, thanking all of our guests who came by to share their memories and talk about their beloved alma mater here at Dominican University of California. We will see you again soon on the Penguin Radio airwaves right here, radio.dominican.edu. Thanks again, everyone.